Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
I come to you today to say that we can build a newer and better nation. I say we can do so, that we must do so, and that we will do so.
That is the late senator and presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy during an April 1968 speech. 2 months later, 50 years ago today, Kennedy was shot in Los Angeles. He died the next day. To talk about Kennedy's legacy, we spoke with Larry Tye, the author of the biography Robert Kennedy, The Making of a Liberal Icon. We began by speaking about Bobby Kennedy's life before becoming a so-called liberal icon, specifically his time working for the anti-communist crusader, Senator Joe McCarthy.
He believed in those days that the only one taking seriously the threat of the Soviet Union was the table-thumping, red-baiting Joe McCarthy. So he went to work believing in McCarthy's cause and being willing to be one of McCarthy's disciples.
How did Bobby Kennedy evolve into that liberal icon as you describe him in your book?
Slowly and through experience. Bobby Kennedy was somebody, whether it was civil rights or understanding poverty in America, this guy who had grown up in some of the whitest places on the planet, in Hyannisport and in Palm Beach, had no natural basis of experience to understand what African Americans were going through, what poor people were going through, and yet he learned. He learned by being on the ground in places like the Mississippi Delta and talking at eye level on a dirt floor in his business suit with starving young black toddlers. Martin Luther King was about the only civil rights leader at the beginning of the Kennedy administration who had any faith at all that Bobby Kennedy could someday do anything right. And he said to the rest of the civil rights leaders, there is good deep within this guy, and it's up to us to pull it out of him.
Thousands of demonstrators opposed to the Vietnam War assembled in the nation's capital.
The 1960s, American society and politics were, of course, as we know now, in a period of tremendous upheaval. Here's what Phil Johnston, Kennedy family friend, longtime Democratic Party activist, and head of the RFK Memorial, had to say about Bobby Kennedy at that time.
I think he was very troubled by the violence, by the racism, violence not only in this country, but the violence that he soon came to recognize as being immoral in Vietnam.
Larry, how were Bobby Kennedy's politics influenced by the unrest of that time, and how did it impact him personally?
Bobby Kennedy was ahead of the curve in terms of Vietnam and his politics of understanding the injustice there. He stood up on the floor of the U.S. Senate in 1966 and said something that you never hear anybody say as a senator, which was, mea culpa, my brother Jack and I were wrong, and we've now got to take those troops that we put in Vietnam and take them out of Vietnam. But Bobby Kennedy was not somebody who blew with the political winds. He helped direct those winds in a way that was really profound and made him the opposite of a flip-flopper.
I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis, Tennessee.
April 1968, the night Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, Bobby Kennedy was in Indianapolis and delivered an impassioned speech appealing for calm. Here's just a little bit of that.
What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black.
And with that speech, Indianapolis stayed calm that night, unlike other U.S. cities where there was rioting.
A little background on what happened that night. He's greeted at the airport by Mayor Richard Lugar, who tells him, you will not go in and give the speech you plan to give in the black ghetto tonight. If you go in, you might not come out alive, and if you go in, there'll be riots. Bobby listens and proceeds to ignore the advice, takes the notes his young aides have composed for him, crumples them up and throws them away, and for the next 5 minutes gives the most pitch-perfect speech a white politician has ever delivered to a black audience, and maybe any politician has delivered in recent American history. Imagining the racial healing we could have gone through back in 1968 gives me the chills to think about how we would be different today in terms of the racial tensions we're facing had Bobby Kennedy been elected in 68.
Just a few weeks ago, we spoke with civil rights pioneer Georgia Congressman John Lewis, who was with Bobby Kennedy's campaign in Indianapolis the night Dr. King was killed. Congressman Lewis reflected on that era with us and reflected on the present.
I truly believe America would be much better. We'd be much further down the road if he had lived. He would have created a greater sense of hope, a greater sense of optimism.
Larry Tye, do you think that America would be a different place today, in 2018, had Bobby Kennedy lived?
I think it would be a dramatically different place. John Lewis said, when I interviewed him for the book, that he was hurt when Jack Kennedy had been killed in 1963. He was devastated when Martin Luther King was killed in 1968. But he consoled himself then by saying, at least we still have Bobby. And I think John Lewis and the rest of America understood that there was no candidate in 1968, and maybe no candidate since then, who could have better united the angry white voters who ended up 50 years later voting for Donald Trump. And those were people who were with Bobby from his Joe McCarthy days. He was uniting them with the liberals and minorities who were Hillary Clinton's coalition, and he could have built precisely the bridges that we need today and that we don't see anybody out there talking about.
Larry Tye, thank you so very much for speaking to WBUR. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, Bob.